James, am I okay with the sound? I got the thumbs up. That's always good. Thank you for that sermon, buddy. I really liked it. I was thinking, what would be considered the greatest church in the kingdom? How would we apply that? That's kind of interesting. Would it be, you know, the giant cathedrals where they wear crowns and robes and make all their own rules? Or would it be a church that humbles itself, comes meekly before God and says, you know, like children, teach us, tell us how to live, tell us how to live our lives and do our church. This is an amazing church. I've never been in one like this before, because that's exactly how we try to operate. Not how we want, but what God wants. In everything that we do, we try and figure out how God wants to lead us. And we fail at times. We're not perfect at it. I don't want you to think that. But it's what we want to do. It's how we want to live our lives in everything, including the call of a pastor. We really want to go to God and want it to be God's choice, not just our choice. So the leadership has a responsibility to keep the congregation fully informed of the pastoral call and everything we do going forward. So we're going to keep addressing questions and talking to you so that everything's out in the open and you know everything. All right? Now, there have been some questions since last week's service, afterwards, and through this week, so I want to answer some of the questions that we've had since then for you. And so we can make sure that everybody understands. Question one, will Buddy be involved after he leaves? When Buddy leaves, he has no vote, no say in anything in this church. Okay. In addition, he has agreed not to initiate any contact with any leader in the church. He has agreed to make himself available as a resource if we were to call him. Next question, why are the leaders pushing for Brian to be the next pastor? Well, remember how I started this? We aren't pushing anything. We're telling you what we believe God is leading us, how he's leading us. And we have to tell you that. That's our responsibility. So it's however God wants it. Brian's chosen, we move forward. If Brian's not chosen, we move forward. But in all things, we move forward as God leads us. Okay? We like Brian. Will we lose him if he's not called to be our pastor? I don't know. I don't know the future. I let God lead my life. You know, I mean, we've talked before about the unique way that we do church here. I ask myself, would another person coming in be doing it the same way? I think not. A new person coming in would have his own ideas, would have his own ways of doing things. We have no idea how he would interact with not just Brian, but the entire staff. Maybe he wants his own songs. We don't have any idea. So it's just an unknown. There's no way to answer it. Am I a recognized member who can participate in casting my vote or discernment for a new pastor? Yeah, I'm getting to that. Might as well do it now. Yeah. Brian loves this church. I've talked to him. Buddy's talked to him. Buddy has no plans. Brian has no plans of going anywhere. He would like to stay under all circumstances, okay? Just so you know that. All right. Are you a member of the church that can cast a vote? So if you are spiritually committed to this church and attend, then you are considered a member of this church. All right? We leave that up to the person. Now, obviously, if 20 people show up that we've never seen before, that's a different story. But if you consider yourself spiritually committed to the church and you attend here, then you're a member. Now, the next part's important. After we're through here, I have put four lists on two tables out there. They're all exactly the same. And it's everyone that right now we think is a member. That's the list we're going to use for the vote. So I need you after service to please go take a look at the list. They're in alphabetical order. If you are not on the list, do not go crazy. All right? You will see these little slips on the table back there, the welcome table. It simply say, please add me to the member list. All right? One per person. Don't put three people on here. Fill it out for yourself with the information. Give it to me. And then next week, very important, make sure you're on the list. All right? We're going to update the list next week. And that's what we're going to use when we do our discernments with the Lord for the call of a pastor. Any questions on that? Okay, so the lists are outside for you. If we can get that slide up now, James, please. All right, so the week of July 30th, you can see what it says there. We are going to use this next week, and we're going to operate just as if we were calling a pastor we didn't know. It's going to be the same procedure. I've been on pastoral search committees. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to make the person available to all members of the church, available to all the small groups. Any of you want to talk to him, he's going to be available morning, noon, and night to talk to him. That's what a new person would do. You'll see on your handout today on the back, we have some qualifications for Brian. We handed some out last week. We handed some out this week. It's on the back of what we looked at today. And you have it in your hands. So we would do the same thing with any pastor. We would let everybody know what we think the qualifications are. And then finally, next week Sunday, Brian's going to preach. So we're going to follow the same process as if we called any pastor. Brian preaches on August 5th, and then after he preaches, he'll be available to answer more questions. Next slide, please. On Monday, August 6th, we're going to start accepting votes. We call discernments because we want it to be God's choice, by email from those who cannot attend the service on August 12th. Right, August 12th, after the service, we're going to have your ability to give us your discernment, and we're going to collect all those. But if you're not going to be here on August 12th, we're going to start taking emails, discernments, starting Monday, August 6th. On Sunday, August 12th, that's where we're going to accept them from the people. Next slide, please. On Thursday, August 16th, is going to be the last day for me to receive any emails about what your discernment is. On August 17th, the next day, the election team, I'm going to ask a couple of you to be involved with this. It's not going to be the leaders, to help tally everything up. And then we'll let everybody know on August 19th where everything is going to be. Now, next week and over the next 2 weeks, also in the email bulletin, we're going to have the detailed instructions about how to cast your discernment. It's going to be fairly simple. I believe God has called Brian to be our next pastor. I do not believe God has called Brian to be our next pastor. I am unsure of what God wants in this matter. So but you'll have some more detailed directions about exactly how to do that. And so we'll have that in the bulletin, and we'll have that also at next week for everybody. Okay, any questions before I turn this over to Brian? Any general questions? All right, let's get Brian up here. Brian? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Well, it's like anything else, you know. No, it's not. It's not. It's, you know, 75% of the voting people voting are going to have to, God's going to have to move 75% of the people voting for us to call a new pastor, whoever it is. So it kind of makes it tough if you put in an unsure vote. All right? Yes.
My question is, my wife and I only been here a couple months, and there's probably other people that have been longer than I, and even longer than others. So, I heard several people mention that Brian preaches very well, but preaching doesn't make you good pastor. And then besides that, I don't have the sheet with me, but last week we handed all the qualifications for a pastor. Number one, been here 2 months, okay? I never seen Brian or heard Brian of any of these qualifications. Only one time he preached. So how can I, in fact I'm not even a member, only been here 2 months, so how can I, what is my priority to vote for him? When I've never seen any of the qualifications. I've only been here 2 months, and I haven't seen anything he's done. Discipleship, pastoral care, administration, counseling, training, I haven't seen anything.
Okay, I'll try and condense it. The question is, James, for you, is that how do I make this decision when I haven't seen all these, know Brian well enough or seen Brian for a long enough period of time to see any of these qualifications, teaching or preaching or discernment. Well, it's like any pastor that comes here, we're only going to have a limited amount of information. We're going to have the same with Brian. But I would say, and I'm saying this in spirit to you, and not, but I really don't want it to be your decision. I really want you to go to prayer to the Lord, all right, and try and hear the Lord in your heart about what he thinks his decision should be. We want this to be a discernment more than a vote. We really do. It's a tough situation, but we're in no different a situation than if we called somebody from the States. We would have very limited information. In this case, we're quite fortunate because we have a lot more information about Brian than we would ever have from anybody else that came here and spent a week.
Yeah, but like you mentioned before, all of the elders and the deacons had that information. They contacted in, small screens and everything. But with lots of people, especially like me, I haven't seen anything.
Well, that's why we're making, he's worried about not being able to have this information is the question. That's why Brian's going to be available this entire week. I would suggest you call Brian, spend time with him, and talk to him, and ask him some questions. That's what this whole week, morning, noon, and night, he's going to make himself available.
Yeah, Bob, questions are good, and answers are good. Do in just a second.
Yeah.
George, we're going to do in just a second a lot of what you're asking. Okay, we're going to try to do that in here in just a moment. As soon as Bob finishes, I'm going to interview Brian, and you're going to get to watch and see him respond, and you'll see exactly how... Okay, then I would say talk to people in this church that have been here that you trust that know Brian well. And I'd also say that's one of the reasons we have deacons and elders, to help lead the church. It's our responsibility to lead and do it well.
So I want to say something, okay? It's okay to be a little anxious. It's okay to be a little concerned about what's going forward.
Amen.
But if we really trust our lives to God, if we really believe that he's guiding our footsteps, we have to have some faith in that. We shouldn't be so worried about things. And then these fears. You know, 85% of what we worry about never comes to pass. You know? These fears. What really is driving the fear? And I think that's where...
I'm...
I understand. No, I wasn't talking about you. I'm just making a general comment. We're good. All right, anyone else before we get started? All right, Brian, will you come up here? One more question? Yes. Well, if we don't get 75% per the Constitution, then we have to look for a new pastor.
So, abstentions, if you will, are going
to... You know, I'm going to have to go back and check the... Good question. I'm going to have to go back and reread the Constitution. I don't have a clear answer. I think I know what it is, but I don't want to say it unless I'm positive. So I'll go back and check it. We'll bring it up again next week. Okay. The question is, what happens if 25% don't have a yes or no? They're just unsure about it. You know, what happens? Well, the Constitution says 75% have to vote to call a new pastor. The details of those other votes, the unsure votes, we'll go and check what it says. We'll try and get a clearer understanding for you next week. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. No other hands. It's all yours.
Bob.
Oh, that's where Brian is.
I will say this. My understanding is it's 75% of the votes that come in is what we're looking for. Because there's obviously going to be members in our church that are not here that are not going to vote. And so it'll be 75% of the people voting are more than 25% of the people voting saying, no, this is not who God has for our next pastor. If you turn on your bulletin, the other side of it, this is a list of what Bob and I, as elders in the church, have asked Brian to do. So what we have here is not the complete list, but it is a list of how God has been working in Brian's life and trained him, and it's a list of what he's actually accomplished and the fruit of him serving us as deacon and executive pastor over the last 2 years.
Do you understand what it is? List.
It's a very consolidated list. Does everyone understand what this list is? So those of you who said, kind of like George, I want to know what his qualifications are. We believe this is going to be helpful to you, but we also are charged with the responsibility by the Lord of saying, show the family what I have been doing, what I am doing, and then let them listen to me now. So that's what we're attempting to do. So, Brian, I'm going to talk to you about this. The first thing you have on here is that you feel like God has put you in uncomfortable, challenging situations that have stretched you and grown you. Can you explain what that means and how it has grown you?
Absolutely. But before
before you start, have you and I done this? Have we practiced this?
No.
This is raw. We have not talked about any of this. I want you to understand. This is the very first time we have ever done anything like this together. Okay, how's this? Tell me, what are the difficult, the uncomfortable, challenging situations, and how has that grown you?
Well, before I answer, one thing I do want to say is I don't think either of us believe this is a list of qualifications, and maybe some things on there could be perceived that way, but it's what it says at the top. It's just ways that God's been preparing me over the last couple of years. And so, of course, some of that's going to look like qualifications, and some of it's not.
Excellent. Good clarification.
Okay. So uncomfortable, challenging situations, and things that have just stretched me and grown me, you know, things that have really, God's pushed me out of my comfort zone constantly, and I know most of you guys are familiar with this, and God tends to closer or further away?
No, closer. Close as you can.
Closer, right, like this.
Yes.
I'll just hold it on my face.
Okay.
So one thing he's done, you know, when I first got here over 2 years ago, well, I got here over 3 years ago almost, but over 2 years ago, I started leading our Wednesday Bible study that we had at the time, Wednesday morning that met here. And Buddy asked me to do that, and it was something I had done in the past with small groups back in the States, but it was kind of intimidating with all you older people that are, you know, smarter and seemingly wiser and lots more experienced than me, and so that really pushed me out of my comfort zone, and ever since then, it's been, you know, time and time again, more teaching, more leading small groups, confronting people, counseling people, discipling, you know, it's kind of been like, who am I to do any of this stuff? And yet all along God's hand has been so mercifully on me, and he's shown me so much grace, and he's given me what to say and how to kind of do all these different things. And of course there's been, you know, with any job or any ministry, there's things you really love about it, things you're really passionate about, and things you'd really rather not do. And that does not, there's no exception here. And so there's things that I and things that Buddy and things that most of you would rather not do that we still have to do and God wants us to do. And some of those things can be challenging, like confrontations, confronting other people or brother, sister in sin or any kind of counsel there. And so those, you know, it's things that have given me experience of things that I never thought I would do, certainly not at this age and this time, but ways that he's really grown me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Second, he called you to be we believe that God called you to be a deacon, and that was kind of our first official kind of deacon board. And as I remember, there were some problems with how that all got going and started.
Yeah.
So explain to us what that did for you, being a part of that, being called as a deacon as a young man, and being explained that this is a serving position, and then having it be rocky right from the beginning.
That seems like a really, really broad question.
It is.
So when David and I both came on as deacons, it was back right at 2 years ago now. It was right in, I believe, July of 2016. And there was 5 existing deacons that were part of an initial leadership team that were leaving, or not, and they're still in the church, but we're exiting from being deacons, and then the elders had called 4 of us new deacons to come on, and so there was no overlap, And so you guys can probably imagine what that would look like. So there was, you know, we had minimal training from the elders at the time, but we didn't have any instruction, any training from the current deacons. And so there was lots of things that the current deacons had been doing that we were totally unaware of. And so we come in, and then some of those things stop happening. Or some, you know, just random things get missed, and, you know, people get upset and frustrated. And, you know, so we had to deal with that. And it all went well for the most part. And we came in with four of us, and then it ended up just being me and David. A couple of us, you know, we had some personality disagreements and issues, and we had to work through some of that. And Jim helped us do some personality training and tests and things like that to figure out how we're going to work well together, and who's going to be the lead deacon, which is David, and he's done a phenomenal job. And so, you know, just dealing with one another, figuring out how we're going to lead, how we're going to fit and work well with each other, there was all kinds of challenges there. But we pretty much worked it all out in the first couple of months, and it's been pretty much smooth sailing, I think, since then.
And yeah, I agree. I think David and Brian, as our deacons, have done a fabulous job. And as we said, we've got lots of people to do the work of a deacon that don't want the title or the responsibility or the meetings.
Yeah.
What was it like, though, when the deacon started, David, if I remember, it was rough starting out. Mm-hmm. So what effect did that have on you and your feelings about church leadership?
Well, I could, a little from my perspective, lots more from my wife's perspective probably, is, you know, this is a lot harder, and maybe, I don't know if I really like this as much, and it's not really what I expected, and it seems like it's a battle constantly, or not necessarily constantly, but just there's lots of struggle, lots of battle. And you know, the more and more God revealed and showed me what's going on is basically there's just tons of spiritual warfare, and we talk about this a lot, and it never goes away. It's always present. And just upon returning to Panama just in the last couple of days, it's like the enemy kind of laid off of us while we were on our vacation, and just in the last 48 hours, it's just been ridiculous. And he's just hammering, and it's like, there's just been spiritual warfare all over the place. And it was discouraging, but then once I started to be able to see some of what God's showing me, some things, you know, we've talked, things that only God can show us, things that we can't see, you know, especially when we're talking about the spiritual warfare realm of things, that began to be real encouraging for me.
Began to be encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Explain, what do you mean? How can spiritual warfare be encouraging?
Well, being able to see that it's spiritual warfare.
Ah, okay,
so now I'm not just totally falling into the traps of the enemy, right? I'm seeing what's actually going on. I'm getting some of God's perspective, and now I can really see clearly, even though it's not fun. It's not something I want to be engaged in and doing, but he's enabling me to see what's going on and to really engage in the war well.
Okay, so you're saying if you're a part of leadership, and in a church where Jesus Christ is the head, that there's going to be a fair amount of spiritual warfare. And you said it's going to always go on.
Absolutely. There's going to be a target on your back.
Why in the world do you want to continue doing this then?
Well, you know, I really do believe God's given me a passion for what I'm doing. It's something, you know, like we said, there's things you're really passionate about, things you really like, and things you don't like. And, of course, we don't like the spiritual warfare aspect of it. But seeing the fruit in other people's lives and the results of the ministry that I've been able to do, and with counseling and discipleship and the personal vision ministry, you know, the stuff we're going to get to in a little bit, you know, that's really exciting. It's a supernatural joy and satisfaction that God's given me.
Good. Good. Okay, and then you have here uniquely calling me to be an executive pastor and giving me desires and skill sets to do the job well. What do you mean uniquely calling you to be the executive pastor?
Well, for those of you who heard me preach a few weeks ago, you've heard part of this story already. But, you know, the way God called me to be executive pastor was unique is probably the best word. It was strange. It was weird, unexpected. Buddy and I were having dinner one night, and with Rachel. Rachel had cooked for us. Letty was out of town, so it was just the three of us back a couple of years ago. And we shared with Buddy that, financially speaking, we were going to have to move back to the States pretty soon. We had moved here. We had been living, for the most part, off of our savings. We were running an online e-commerce business, but it was not even close to meeting all of our needs. And so Buddy asked, well, if you could do anything, any job, what would that look like? What would you want to do? Secular world or not, doesn't matter. Just what would you like to do? And so I'm a civil engineer. That's my background. And so I start describing kind of what I'd really like to do. And what it was a secular business. I'd like to run small business. I'd like to be involved in this and this and this, not just one thing. I'd like to be involved in all sorts of different things with respect to running a small business. And as I began to elaborate, Buddy said, you know, it sounds an awful lot like basically the secular version of an executive pastor position. And at the time, I wasn't real familiar with what an executive pastor was, and Buddy had only just recently became real familiar with what it was because the elders were pushing for him to hire an executive pastor. And so we started talking about that and, you know, what is an executive pastor and what would someone like that do? What kind of gifts or skill sets would they need to really be able to do that and to do it well? And as the night progressed, God really began to open, Rachel's mind and Buddy's, all three of our eyes, to see that there's something here and there's potential here. And so that really got the ball rolling. And then after about, a month or two, back and forth, we kind of decided, well, no, it's not going to work out. And then the door opened, you know, got slammed back open again, and it turned out it did work out, and here I am. So I've never, you know, you don't expect to have a position or a calling into ministry or any job like that. That was just really strange, but really cool. It's a fun story to tell.
Yeah, and part of the thing that I think, in addition, made it so unique, Brian's never been an executive pastor. He didn't even know what an executive pastor did. And he's young. I mean, he's really young. And so, you know, from a human standpoint, it really made no sense at all. And yet, those of you who've been here and have seen Brian, I mean, I think he's a fabulous executive pastor. Okay, the next thing is learning how to communicate well with God effectively and accurately. Explain what that means, please.
Well, you know, the way we do church and the way we encourage you all to do life and the way we do life is that Jesus Christ is the literal head. So he's the literal head of this church. He's the literal head of my marriage. He's the literal head of me and my wife and our family. And so if we're going to say, okay, well, he's going to be the head and he's going to call the shots and he's going to make the decisions, that makes it really hard if we can't communicate with him. And so I went through this process with Buddy's book and some other things that taught me and kind of built me up on how to communicate with God. And I began to do that regularly, and I began to write some of it down. And I'm a man, and I don't like writing it down. And many of you have shared with me, men don't really like that. And I think I hear from God, and I think this is what he's saying, but I don't really want to write it down. And that's just kind of how we operate. And so that's more of pushing me out of my comfort zone. But I began writing it down and getting other people that were significantly more experienced in hearing from God to review it and tell me, you know, is this accurate? Do you think this is what God's saying? Does this have God's fingerprints? Is this not what he's saying or not how he would say it? And so I would get feedback from Buddy and from Letty and from Lori Bowes and from Tammy and a variety of other people that would give me feedback on my communication with God. And that was a process, and I would say, what do you think, 6 months to a year or so, I began hearing pretty consistently where there wasn't, you know, it seemed like for the first 6 months there was correction almost every time. It was, well, you know, this sounds off, or, you know, that's not accurate or whatever. But then after about the first 6 months or so, it began to be more consistent, and then God began to show me things, and then they would, not necessarily things of the future that would happen, but things that were true. And so, you know, that was an encouraging confirmation that I would get from God while I'm communicating with him. And it's just continued to grow. It has continued to grow. And of course, like Bob said earlier, Bob Silva said, you know, we're not perfect. We mishear. Even Buddy mishears. And I've had to correct him, and I've heard inaccurately, and he's corrected me. And it happens, but our true desire is to let's communicate with God, let's hear from him, let's let him call the shots, and so that's been real fun doing this, and then teaching others how to do it as well.
So you feel confident now that you are skillful in communicating with God?
I do, absolutely.
Good.
Not perfect, but
okay.
But I feel confident.
And one of the responsibilities that we gave you as an executive pastor, which it's not a perfect fit for an executive pastor, but we felt like this is what God wanted to do, was to establish for the very first time a small group ministry. get it started, recruit and train leaders, and then implement it.
Right.
So can you talk for a minute about that?
Yeah, sure. That was one thing back in April, May last year that I felt God was really pressing on my heart. And what we had was lots of people fellowshipping after service, and we were kind of having to kick you out, or the leaders were kicking you out, the greeters, to close the door, and some of you would go to lunch and things like that. But there was a desire for greater fellowship and greater community that Sunday morning just couldn't do anymore. And lots of people desired for that, but at the time, all we had was the Wednesday morning mixed Bible study, and then we had the Thursday women's study. And so if couples or if men were going to be involved, it was Wednesday morning, and that's it. And a lot of people couldn't attend that for a variety of reasons. It didn't fit with their schedule. And so we believe that God was leading us, okay, let's scrap the Wednesday morning thing, and let's see about these small groups. And with the small groups, we believe God gave us three different what's, we call them, main priorities. But number one was and still is fellowship. And so we spend a considerable amount of time fellowshipping and doing, not necessarily events, but we're going to maybe have food or have a dinner or have a movie night, things like that. But we do it all coming around the Word of God. And so we do regularly teach, study, unpack the Word of God, and see what He's showing us. And so I developed the small groups, the curriculum, for the most part. I believe God gave me who the leaders were going to be, met with them initially, and then met with some of them ongoing for their development and training, and the last one being Bob Silva. And those of you who have heard him, he's a phenomenal small group leader, and he's been a pleasure to work with. And so developing the small groups and working with the leaders has been real fun, and it's been fun showing the leaders some of the things that God's showing me, and some of the ways, especially with Bob, you know, it's things that, you know, Bob is an extremely experienced man, very spiritually mature, does not need me to teach him how to do small groups, and yet he met with me and let me teach him how we do small groups. And what I think God's telling us to emphasize, and what to, you know, more on the how than the what. And that was so fun, because some of the stuff, not all of it, but some of the stuff was stuff he had never even thought of before, never even considered. And so our approach is so unique, I think, in our small groups, and our approach to studying the Word of God, especially in the group setting. And it's been fun to implement and to share with everybody.
So do you feel competent in training a man much older than you and more spiritually mature in the faith than you?
I do.
Okay. We need to get rolling here.
Yeah, we do. I need to stop talking so much.
No, you're doing great. You have been involved in, the church has had spiritual warfare, and there's been some yucky stuff go on, and having to deal with overt sin, tangible sin. And you've been the point man on a couple of those occasions.
Right.
And how was that for you?
Difficult.
It's difficult.
Very, very challenging. You know, it's like I said when we started, you know, there's things that you don't want to do. And I'm not somebody that runs away from conflict, but I'm not somebody that runs to it. I realize that it's not necessarily conflict, but confrontation. So I'm not running away from confrontation, but there's times when confrontation is absolutely necessary, and it's biblical, and this is what God wants us to do. And that doesn't make it fun, and it doesn't make it easy or enjoyable or anything like that. And so there's been a few times where I've had to lead in the confrontation and the rebuking and the correction. And it's whether the person sees it and then repents and comes back into the fold or not, it, you know, obviously one is gives us lots more joy and satisfaction at the end, but it doesn't make it any easier in the moment. You know, regardless of the consequence or how it plays out, it's still very difficult to go about doing those things. But I do feel that God has gifted me really well in dealing with those things.
What sort of skill sets do you feel like you possess that enable you to be highly effective in dealing with conflict and sin?
I think there's probably two major skill sets. Number one, I think I'm and sometimes I may not show it, but I think God has gifted me to be an extremely extremely good communicator. And I think that has lots of variety of hows. I think I'm good at sharing my point of view. And I think one thing that really good, it's secondary, but it goes with this really well, is Buddy calls me Buddy calls me unflappable. and I'm not certain that that's the best word for it, but I am very level. It's going to be real hard for you to get a reaction from me. You can frustrate me, and in my head I'll be really upset and really frustrated, but you're not going to see me blow up or yell or lose control or anything like that, and even when the other person is. And so I've been on the receiving end of yelling, harsh words and hateful things, and yet staying level, being able to clearly, softly, gracefully communicate what I think God wants me to communicate. And those two things are extremely essential in a situation like that.
Yeah, and I got to add, Brian is so much better than I am. If you start yelling at me and you're really aggravated, I'm able to get emotionally involved with you quite easily. And Brian is unflappable. He doesn't, and he responds with grace and patience and kindness in a way that I rarely have seen in a man. The next one is that the personal vision stuff that you've done with a number of people. Can you, as brief as possible, kind of explain that and how you feel about doing that?
Sure. Well, the personal vision ministry, that's where I've met with some of you, a variety of you in here, and what we do is we work to find out what your personal what is or your unique contribution to the body of Christ. And so we believe that God has gifted every one of us, every one of his children, with a spiritual gift, possibly more than one spiritual gift. And he's designed us to operate within the kingdom in a certain way. And lots of us never do that. And so we just kind of operate in our own strength or what we think is best. But God has designed us and gifted us to do a certain kind of role in his kingdom if we're doing exactly what he wants. And when we fit right into that hole, when that puzzle piece fits just right, we don't experience burnout. We experience supernatural joy, supernatural satisfaction. We see lots of fruit. And that doesn't mean that some of those things cannot happen when we're not in that perfect niche. But that's basically what the personal vision thing is. We're going to try to figure out what exactly God wants you doing, how he wants you to be functioning and existing within the kingdom.
And you've been able to do that with people.
And I have.
Mm-hmm. How's that been for you?
Well, it was kind of intimidating at first and seemed real challenging, but, you know, this communicating with God stuff really helps, and he's given me some things to share and you know, things to give the people that I'm counseling and dealing with, questions for them to consider, and kind of a process to go about to getting to the end result. And, yeah, I have done this with several people that have gotten to the end result, and it's... it gives me a supernatural joy and satisfaction seeing them. Okay, we've gone through all this, and now they're operating, and they're saying, this is so fun, and this ministry that I'm doing or this particular role that I'm filling now is exactly, I can totally see it. It's exactly what God has designed me to do, and it's so fun, and I'm going, wow.
Great. No offense, but you're awful young, and you're not terribly experienced, so can you explain how you are able to do this with people? Because I don't think most people can do this. I don't think most pastors can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so much of this is going to go back to being able to communicate with God. But, you know, as far as God's going to be head over my life. He's going to be head over my ministry, head over our church. And when we're really leaning on him and allowing him to speak to us and to show us his perspective, and you know, part of what I preached about a few weeks ago, giving us his perspective and his wisdom and his direction. There were these three things, perspective, wisdom, and direction. And if God's giving us that, if we're enabling him to give us that, and we're listening, and then he's actually giving it to us, and then we're following that, it's hard not to be successful with a lot of this stuff.
Great. Thank you. When you became executive pastor, I think the first task I gave you was, I said, we've got a whole bunch of ministry going on in our church. I said, I really don't know how many outreach ministries we've got. We need to know what's going on, and we need to figure out, because when a new person comes in and says, I want to be involved in Boquete, in ministry, do you have any opportunities? I said, yeah, I do, but I'm not sure what to tell you. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so what did you do? Remind us of what you did on outreach ministries.
Well, yeah, you had the pleasure of, when somebody came to ask you, you were able to just kind of point over at me in the corner and go talk to that guy. But what I did to be able to answer those questions was I started getting together with our various ministry leaders and missionaries, and I even stood up here and made announcements. If you guys are involved in ministry or you're missionaries or you're leading in any way, we don't know who all of you are. Please get with me. And so we did that a couple of different times, and I was able to get with every one of you, I think, and kind of interview and answer certain questions, and we made information to go on the website, so there's documentation and descriptions of everything on the website, short and long. And got some of our ministry leaders to write lots of that, and then we did the Mission Sunday. So we got everybody organized, everybody together, everybody on the website. Then we did the Mission Sunday a little over a year ago for the first time in May, where we presented each one of them so our whole family can see, oh, this is what all is going on. Because before, we didn't know. I mean, we knew there was stuff going on, but we just didn't know what the extent was or any of the specifics. And so that's what the Mission Sunday was all about.
Okay, so you figured somehow how to do all that and spent time with everyone, got to know them. I remember you telling me some of them wouldn't hardly tell you, and you had to kind of pull it out of them. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like you've gotten to know our missionaries better than almost anyone in our church.
Almost everyone in our church, not everybody. But,
okay.
But yeah, I definitely know our missionaries
well. How has that
been
for you? Because that took a lot of time to spend time with them, get this organized, set up a website, do Mission Sunday twice now. How has that been for you?